Well, good morning, everyone. I would say it's a lovely day, but it's a little gloomy. And I walked in here this morning, and it was so nice and bright in here on a gloomy day. It's good to have light. Not a lot of announcements. We're in a time in the calendar, church history, where not a lot is going on, but next Sunday we will be dedicating the Christmas child shoeboxes so they can be sent on their way. Well, that's probably good then. No call to worship this morning, so if you would turn to hymn number 516. Interesting. And stand with me.
Thank you.
Father, we come into your presence today to honor you, to glorify you, and to bow in worship before you. Precious Jesus, our Lord, our King, our Savior, we honor you with our Father together. We glorify you for redeeming us, for changing our lives, and for reaching out to the rest of the world with the goodness of the message of your grace and mercy. Be with us now, minister to us, help us to grasp more of you that we may follow you better, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our first lesson today can be found in Psalms 146 on page 479. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When your spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is in God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and widow. But he frustrates in the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Our God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Our second lesson can be found in Mark chapter 12. Verses 38 through 44, and that's on page 776 in the Pew Bible. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seat in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only fractions of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." So ends the reading of God's word.
And we give out of our joy and appreciation to our God for his goodness. Ushers, if you'd come forward, please. And we will have a word of prayer. Once again, our Lord, we thank you for all the goodness that you have sent our way. We thank you that you have chosen us, selected us to be followers of the King forever. With joy in our hearts, we return to you our gifts, ask you to bless those gifts so that your kingdom can proceed, which we know it will, that your name will be honored, which we know it will, and that the name of Jesus, your Son, will be honored, and we know that name will be honored as well. Thanking you in that name, Jesus. Amen. I forgot to mention that the... I forgot to mention that the phone book has been completed and is available. And you can see Gail for that. She stitched it on her sewing machine. I thought that was really cool. Not every church gets a hand-stitched phone book. Okay, stand with me. Let's sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you pray with me? Our God and Father, once again we come to you to thank you that you have redeemed us. Not only redeemed us, but you have saved us unto eternal life with you forever. That forever part is hard to understand, hard to grasp. We thank you for that very precious gift. We thank you also for the gift of your presence with us every minute, every day. Thank you also for the opportunity that you give to us to get together, to praise and worship you, to sing as your word tells us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to you. The opportunity to get together to fellowship and enjoy one another's presence and to encourage one another in the Lord as these days seem to continually get darker. We thank you for your presence in our life, for your help, that we can come to you at any time for any need and that you will hear and answer. We thank you for your will, that your plan will continue to proceed regardless of what we see, regardless of all the obstacles. You will complete your work, and we look forward to the millennial reign of Jesus on this earth, where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years and we will be able to live more peacefully and freely in the name of Jesus on this planet. And we also look forward to the day when the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem will be created in which we can live and dwell and honor you. Once again, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters all across the Iron Range. Continue to build us up. We are your people, meeting in various locations. But Jesus, we are your people. We are one in you. And we disregard differences and highlight you as our King and our Lord. Continue your work. And we thank you for that because we know that you will. Nothing can hinder what you have chosen to do. We give this day to you and this time to you, thanking you for all of it. In that very precious name, the name of Messiah Jesus. Amen. If you turn in your hymnals with me to 637, maybe my programming, because as you noticed, there was no call to worship. That's my fault. I didn't even notice that till we got there. So my mistake. No, we're not getting rid of the call to worship. Oh, that's an idea. Six 37. Lord, you love the cheerful giver who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and free. In our life and all our living, may we faithful stewards be. We are yours, your mercy sought us, found us in death's dreadful way, to the fold in safety brought us, never more from you to stray. Your own life you freely gave us as an offering on the cross, that from sin you now might save us from eternal shame and loss. Blessed by you with gifts and graces, may we heed your church's call, gladly in all times and places, give to you who gives us all. You have bought us and no longer can claim to be our own. Ever free and ever stronger, we shall serve you, Lord, alone. Thank you for that idea. So I guess I should have anticipated that I would have made some mistakes this week. This week has been a rough week in the sense it took me more than 2 days to put this message together. Not that the Word of God is complicated, but trying to put it together in a way that it's easily understood. And I tried three different versions. So this is version number 3. And I hope that you are blessed by it as much as I am and have been. Partly the reason it took that long is because it was more involved than I thought at the beginning. And I gave a hint about that last week when it came to discovering what the Word of God says about mercy. So let's pray together. Your word is so precious, Lord, so important in our lives. We are followers of you. We are children of the mighty God. Your word is our guidebook. And so we need your word to continue our journey in blessing and peace, in joy, and in victory. May your word go forth today and complete the work that you send it to do. We trust you for that, and we put it in your hands through Jesus. Amen. Mercy. I would recommend to you the insert in the bulletin today. Bernie gave that to me a couple of weeks ago, and it fits perfectly with our topic, a description of an adventure. I guess we could call it an adventure that Elizabeth had, having to do with grace and mercy. And I think it'll be helpful for you. Related to this topic. This is important stuff today. So I'd ask you to pay special attention because there's lessons here, not just from God to us about his mercy, but in relation to how we apply mercy to others. First, a quick review. Remember what grace is. 2 weeks ago, God leaning toward an inferior. Have you figured out you're an inferior? I'm an inferior. Just discovered that again today. Illustrations. Thank you, Lord. Why did he create us? Even though we're going to be and were and are inferior. It's an amazing love that God has. That's what grace is. Mercy and grace often get confused, and that is part of the hard part about describing mercy. I referred to this last week, so I'd like to read it. 52 Hebrew words every Christian should know. Mercy is one of them. And remember last week I mentioned its Hebrew word hesed. One of my favorite places in Colorado is the Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. The beautiful red rock formations burst up out of the ground and rise hundreds of feet in the air with the world-renowned Rocky Mountains providing a stunning backdrop. Visiting this place, it's hard not to think of a verse in the book of Isaiah that reads, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my," here's the word translated, "unfailing love," that's the word mercy, My unfailing love for you will not be shaken. The Hebrew word translated as love in this verse is hesed, which is a hard word to accurately define. Theologian John Oswalt says hesed is, quote, a completely undeserved kindness and generosity, end quote. Hesed, in the words of the 1970s rock group Boston, is more than a feeling. It's an action. Or more accurately, it's a series of actions that define and underline a relationship. Hesed intervenes on behalf of loved ones and comes to their rescue. While we often think of love as a romantic feeling, hesed is much more than that. It's faithful and faithfulness. It's reliable, dependable. It's loyal. Hesed is a wife praying for years for her husband to know God. It's a dad getting up in the middle of the night yet again so he can go bail out his drug-addicted son. It's parents who lovingly care for their child with disabilities every day of their life. Hesed is a love based on action, and hesed is unfailing. Because hesed is hard to define, we really need to describe it. And as I mentioned, it's often confused with grace, and it's often confused with faith. There's a Celtic song, I love Celtic music, by the way, that I listen to, and it gets to the chorus, and it's talking about this woman reconnecting with God. And the chorus says, I hear you calling, and my mind says, I hear you calling to me. But that's not what the chorus says. The chorus is, I hear you calling for me. To me, that's a huge difference. Calling for me, God calling for me, means he's invested in me. That gives you a sense of this hesed, this mercy, this love, this combination of all that God has. Feelings, if you will. I don't like that word, but I think it helps portray what God has toward us. These strong, incredible feelings that God has toward people. And sometimes we look at the history of Israel and we look at the world that we live in, and if you're like me, you shake your head and go, why? It's very disappointing sometimes for God to see what's happened to his people Israel and to his people in general. But the hymn at Calvary says, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Mercy is a challenge because not everybody gets mercy. It is a real challenge for me in ministering to people the gospel and sometimes finding that they don't want to respond. Knowing that God's mercy is available, but they don't want it. And I frown because I don't understand that. When you have this great abundance of love and care, why wouldn't you want it? And I don't have an answer to that. Also challenging for me in counseling, because I find Christians or people who profess to be Christians, I believe are Christians, who come to talk with me, and they've found grace. They've found the Lord. They've found salvation. But they haven't found mercy. Some of them continue to struggle with the guilt of their past. They haven't found the mercy of God to get past their errors or their sins. So here we go. What is mercy? Mercy is compassion and action to relieve the needy if able. That's what that Hebrew word is defined as. Four parts. I'll read it again. Compassion, action, to relieve the needy if able. We're going to illustrate those today. First, let's talk about the needy. Probably the easiest part of this definition, but I think you'll find out in a minute it's not as easy as you think. Because the Old Testament defines the needy as the actual needy. Or it's a literal translation from the Old Testament is needy indeed. Now we know that God knows that all human beings are needy. God knows that all human beings are unworthy. But we know from Jesus' life and ministry that even though that's true, the only people Jesus could minister to were those who knew they were needy. Amen? That's why we came to Jesus, right? We knew we were needy. We knew that we needed forgiveness and salvation. And we knew that we were unworthy. That's the sense of the Old Testament definition of the needy. That's why Jesus asked this question when people came to him, and maybe you've wondered why he asked, but that's why he asked this question. What do you want? People came to him for healing. We'd go, obviously, healing. But he asked that question, what do you want? I want to see again. I want to be healed. The reason Jesus asks that question is the person needs to know that they're needy. The Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes as we call them also, illustrate this too, and you might want to check this out. Read through those first few verses in the Beatitudes because it talks about God's blessings come to a certain group of people. The poor. Are we poor? Probably not in the sense of comparison to the rest of the world. If you read that little insert from Elizabeth, those folks over in Africa, they are poor. We can't even compare. We realize we're spiritually poor. But we in America are so blessed. The Sermon on the Mount is a challenge for us to read. But it talks about mercy of God goes to the truly needy. The ones who are really, really, actually needy. So that's a challenge. And I want to give you this, I hope, helpful tip. Kathy and I have driven through Duluth, and we come to a stop sign, and there's somebody going to the car windows asking for money. That happened to you? It doesn't happen anymore because Duluth took some action to stop the panhandlers because there was already a law on the books. But when that happens, the first thing that happens, of course, is we're concerned. The second thing that happens is, should we really give them money? Are they really needy? Or are they just who knows what? Are they really genuinely needy? Here's a place where Christianity, and I would say Judaism from the Old Testament, is different from the United States of America. The United States of America gives out a ton of money to people for various reasons. The Old Testament standard for giving out money or support to people is if they were truly needy. What does that mean? It means they couldn't work. They were unable to work. Not unwilling, unable. Paul reiterates that, emphasizes that in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. This is my commandment. If a person will not work, he will not eat. So that's helped me when we have driven up to these panhandlers sometime. Watching them run up to the car windows, obviously very physically capable, and wondering, what is my money going to go toward? Is it going to go toward drugs or drinking, or what's it going toward? But that verse in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 comes to mind and reminds me this person could be working. It's interesting. I don't know what the percentage tax base in the United States is, but it's interesting that Israel financed all of their operations, all of their giving to the poor and needy, and support for widows, fatherless, the priesthood, through 10% tax, called a tithe. I don't know what our tax base is, but I'm guessing it's over 10%. Interesting. Give that to you again. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. You can look it up. This is my command. If he will not work, he will not eat. Okay, that's a tough part. The second part. First part is needy. The second part is compassion. This is something I think we're all familiar with. What is compassion? The Hebrew word is literally translated intestines. Actually, the translation is tougher than that. I'm kind of making it a little bit easier for us. What do we call it? The guts. Isn't it interesting that today here, 4,000-6,000 years later, that when we feel compassion, we feel it in our gut? Isn't that kind of funny? Something down here happens in us. In fact, it was so real to the Jewish people that they ended up calling it the kidney. And then eventually, as we moved into the New Testament era, the heart. Something inside us goes off when we see people in need. Whether we can meet the need or not, whether we should meet the need or not, something goes off inside of us. We feel compassion. Nothing wrong with that. So we got two things now. The truly needy, compassion. The third component, if able. This was the most astounding part in my study as I went through this. If able. We can only meet the need if we are able. God can only meet the need if he is able. Illustrate that through salvation. Is everybody going to be saved? No. Does God want everybody saved? Yes. He can't deliver salvation because he's not able to deliver it. And then the last part, the actual delivery of the mercy itself. So let's look up Matthew chapter 9. Let's look up some illustrations of these four elements of mercy and see how they actually play out in the life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Okay? He sees the crowds, they're needy. He has the compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So we've got those components. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So we've got the needy. Jesus sees the needy. He's got the compassion. He doesn't meet the need. Why doesn't he meet the need? Because there is someone else to meet the need. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. That's meeting the need. If you've ever been in prayer, praying for the mission field, praying for our own church or other churches on the Iron Range, and churches without pastors or struggling to get pastors, this prayer is the answer. Our action to pray is the answer to meet that need. Luke chapter 19. Verses 41 and 42. Luke 19:41-42. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." The needy, yes, they're there. Here are the people of Jerusalem in need of salvation. Jesus had compassion on these lost people. So much compassion that he was even weeping. This is such a tragedy. You people, I've come here in person, and you still refuse. But he didn't meet the need, because he couldn't meet the need, and he tells us why they had not been willing. So the solution was there, and you've probably felt this when you've tried to minister Jesus to friends or relatives, and they just don't want it. The answer is there, but they just didn't want it. But there's another truth in here that Jesus identifies, and that is timing. If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. Mercy can end. It can be done. Over with. Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 says, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal." Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. However, he can't do anything. But Jesus proceeded to the cross anyway, so that any of these people who were refusing him at this time could have a chance for salvation. And we know by the record of history, through the book of Acts, that many did. After his resurrection, many, thousands in fact, came to Jesus in one day, responded. So even though he couldn't do anything for them on that day, he still proceeded to the cross. The last two illustrations I don't think we need, because they're parables that we're very familiar with. The parable of the Good Samaritan, the needy, the victim, the compassion. Two guys saw the situation and went around the situation. I can't tell you whether they had compassion or not. All I can tell you is that they avoided getting involved. But the third guy, the Good Samaritan, had compassion, went to the victim, and helped the victim. And you know the rest of the story. It reminds me, helping the victim, this guy who helped the Good Samaritan was wealthy. He had a donkey so he could transport the guy. He had all the, remember we're talking about if you have the ability. This guy had the ability, and he took care of it. It reminds me of a lady I talked to in Cook, and she was struggling with this part, if able, because she's getting letters almost every day asking for money, right? You probably get the same stuff, or emails, or something like that. And she just could not figure out how to do this because the need was much greater than she could supply. So here was her answer to the dilemma. A letter comes in, it goes on the top of the pile. When she has $1, she takes the letter out from the bottom of the pile, puts it in the letter, and mails it. That was her solution. Her pile was about that high. She couldn't meet all the need. Have you ever felt that way with all the requests out there? I mean, there's a lot of need out there. It just can't meet it all. The next example is the parable of the lost son. The son was lost. It took him a while to figure out he needed an answer. When he discovered he was in need, even though we knew he was in need before that, but when he discovered he was in need, he turned. Remember the Greek word, repent, means to turn. He turned and returned toward his father. There's the need, the compassion, the gut, the feeling of wanting to solve his boy's trouble. The Father waited and watched every day for his son to return. Now that's compassion. The father was waiting for the son to return. When the son returned, the father had the ability to meet the need of the son. The son didn't ask for that, but the father gave it. He had the mercy that could be delivered. Jude, verse 20 and 21. We don't often go to this little book. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love, actually mercy, as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Stay in God's love until God's mercy can deliver the full package. We wait for being translated out of this life into the kingdom of Jesus, the full mercy being revealed. Flesh gone, temptations over with, sickness over with, full mercy. So how do we get mercy? Simple, we know the answer to it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We must believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. So we've got these four parts: needy, compassion. We're going to take action, but only if we're able to take that action. When this happens with God, as I mentioned before, that connection between faith and grace generates a power that is greater than any other power in the universe. It's called being born again. Being born again is God's gift of mercy to us. But it doesn't stop there. God's mercy can go on for the rest of our lives if we believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. While I'm trusting the word of God to his Spirit to take that and minister it to you, would you turn in your hymnal with me to 664? Send forth by God's blessing our troop. with me, and let's sing the blessing. We have it on recording now. Thank you to Roger and Shirley.